Hello and welcome to the first episode of the Tesla Tips and Tricks podcast. This is Rod Stuckey, and I'm joined here by EVBids co-founder and Tesla Tips and Tricks principal and administrator, Tori Hornsby. Tori, welcome, and how's it going?
It's going great. Thank you very much. How are you?
I'm doing great. Well, we've got a packed show today where we're going to be covering our week in review, the top five posts from our T3 Facebook group over this past week, and reveal some compelling insights from our members. But before we jump in, Tori, for those who may be unfamiliar, share a little overview about the Tesla Tips and Tricks community.
Sure. First thing I'll say is if you hear us say TTT or T3, saying the full group name Tesla Tips and Tricks over and over and over can become a little bit of a tongue twister.
Yes, it can.
So the Triple T community is the largest Tesla tips-oriented Facebook group in the world. We currently have, we're just about to pass 274,000 members, and we're growing at a really, really rapid pace of over 1,000 members per week. We're averaging about 50 posts per day, and we have over 3,100 engagements every single day on those posts. And all of this results into valuable guidance, insights, real-world practical hacks for current and prospective Tesla owners, which is the goal. The T3 group has 8 group moderators from all over the world, and we're working tirelessly to ensure that we have a group that provides high-quality value to the Tesla community. And we take these responsibilities really seriously, and we're making every effort possible to fight spammers, to remove inappropriate content, and then to have a polite, courteous, and fun community for Tesla enthusiasts.
Wow. Yeah, that's the things you don't think about with a group that size is the moderators and what it takes to, you know, keep the group fun and like you said, bring value. So that's a great segue into the recent exciting development of the EVBids and the Tesla Tips and Tricks merger. Take us through a little bit of what's going on.
Yeah, this is really exciting news. As car lovers, as you can see behind me, and ultimately as Tesla enthusiasts, our vision since the founding of EVBids has been to become the leading consumer auction site and marketplace for buying and selling pre-owned EVs, namely Teslas. And, you know, Elon really changed the game and disrupted the traditional dealership model for buying and selling. And we've realized that legacy dealers, they're just not equipped with the unique knowledge and resources that are needed for buying and selling used Teslas. Of course, then COVID came along and consumer auction sites like Cars and Bids and Bring a Trailer, along with companies like Carvana, which everybody's heard of Carvana. These guys had explosive growth, and they really proved that consumers enjoy purchasing online and having a car shipped right to their driveway.
Yeah, it really is amazing. You know, Henry Ford invented the assembly line, or is credited with inventing the assembly line and the dealership model. And then Elon comes along and, you know, I recently bought my new Model X on the app, and it's just like, what a different experience. And so, you know, that's it really is interesting. So share a little bit more about the TTT and EVBids joining forces.
Yeah, the Tesla Tips and Trick Group was started by Naveed Gondal back in 2017. And his original vision was for the group to provide tips, tricks, news, and also member deals. And just by the way, the success and accomplishments that he's achieved with this group are remarkable. But Naveed is a busy family man. He runs a full-time successful marketing agency in Norway, which is where he's from. And he wanted to see the community continue to grow and fulfill his vision across multiple media channels. And ironically, the group's most rapid growth has been in the United States, where nearly 160,000 of the 274,000 are from the U.S. And he recognized that, and he knew that we were based in America as well, and it just made a lot of sense. So he had a website, he had domains, he had a business model vision for the next steps, And that included, obviously, big time the United States. He just needed a little bit more resources to take T3 to the next level. And I think that's where the synergy with EV Bids really comes into play.
That makes sense. So how do you see that looking and benefiting both the EV Bids and Tesla Tips and Tricks communities?
Well, you know, first and foremost, I'll say that we're going to stay focused on providing tips and tricks to the Tesla community. But believe it or not, we've discovered through the new membership questionnaire, when people are requesting to join the group, that a considerable number of the new member requests to the Tesla Tips and Trick group don't own a Tesla. They're considering buying one. They're looking to learn more, and that's why they're joining. And that's where I think EV Bids, market reports, our used vehicle values, and our expertise on the used Tesla market can really bring a lot of value to the group. You know, we've also found that a lot of members prefer buying and selling their pre-loved Teslas through private party peer-to-peer sales rather than going the traditional trade-in with the dealer route. And, you know, EV Bids is equipped to bring value to those situations. So by integrating the robust EV Bids marketplace and the consumer auction technology with the deep knowledge base of the Tesla Tips and Tricks group and its members, this partnership, man, it's going to create a one-stop hub for all things Tesla, from securing a good deal on one if you're in the market, to securing a sale at a competitive price, to mastering the art of optimizing your ownership experience, and everything in between. And this collaboration really ensures that every step of the Tesla journey is seamless and rewarding.
Well, that's an excellent explanation. So I know there'll be much more to come on that topic, but without further delay, let's jump right into the top five posts from our T3 Facebook group with the most engagement over this past week. So coming in at number five, the fifth most popular post, Tori, if you want to share your screen for those watching on YouTube, if not, if you're listening, you don't need to worry about it. We'll explain, but we have a question from Mary about charging habits. Tori, take us through a little bit about this comment with about charging habits.
Yeah. So Mary basically is she's concerned because her what she's read online is to not charge your battery to 100%, but her app is telling her to. And so you can see here, it says to maintain battery health, keep the charge limit at 100% and charge fully once per week, which is counterintuitive to other models and what she's read on the group. And that's because, as you can see in the very first comment here from Mark, I've blurred out all the names here, but it says because you have a different battery type, LFP, than most people. And it does need to be charged to 100% per week to calibrate the management system more accurately. And that's what the second comment here says. So the best advice as you read through these comments, and by the way, this has 74 likes and reactions and 210 comments. So 284 engagements on this post, which brings it in at number five. And I think the big answer, if you haven't joined the group, man, come on and join us. Just search for Tesla Tips and Tricks. You'll see the 273.9, or by the time you join, hopefully over 274. And just join in and come and read the comments on this if you have any questions. But the bottom line is that you want to do what the app tells you to do. If it's recommending that you charge to 80%, charge to 80%. If it's recommended 100% once per week, do that. I do want to mention one tip that's actually new for me that I've learned over the past couple of weeks. And it's the ABC of charging. Did you know there was an ABC of charging? I didn't know there was an ABC of charging.
And always be charging.
That's right. Always be charging. And so what I've learned, and this makes sense, and I have verified the authenticity of this, that if you are, even though you're parking at home, always keep your battery plugged in. And if you know you're going to be taking the short trips, just leave it at 50% charge. That's the perfect balance to calibrate the battery and not overcharge it or undercharge it. And then it being charged in, it can stay conditioned and it can run the car from the charger instead of always on the battery. So leaving it charged in at 50% is ideal. Now, if you need to have more power than that,
depending upon the battery, right? That could be different depending upon which battery you have, to your point earlier.
LFP, right. So if it's telling you something different, that's a good point. Again, follow what the app is telling you. But for most of the other batteries, and they've stopped putting LFP last month is what I've read. They probably will start using it again in the future. Not sure if there's a hiccup there or what's going on. But if you need to charge more, like I saw somebody's comment that said, says I'm supposed to charge to 80%, but I really need to charge to 85% for the range and getting a little less cold weather. I get a little less efficiency because the battery's warming itself up more often. And like if you need to, do it, right? But the goal here is to keep it at that mid-range charge if you can. If you're parked at home like me and you're just taking quick trips everywhere and you can sustain at 50% every day, that's ideal.
Yeah, yep. I like that. You know, the app, you know, everybody, you have different models out there, different year models. And so trying to get general advice sometimes is probably not going to be as reliable as what the app tells you. So, but yeah, if you haven't yet jumped in there, read the comments, make some comments if you want. That's another point about how many current comments there are. These comments are still there and still growing. So, with that, we'll move on to the fourth most popular post from Radad about the ever controversial topic of FSD. We got many love it. We got many hate it. But nevertheless, FSD continues to evolve. So take us through the number four most popular post, Tori.
Sure. Yeah. So Rada says, I just bought a Tesla Model Y. How safe is it to use full self-drive FSD? And this is a hot topic, and obviously there are people who love it and people hate it. But I'll show you my favorite comment here, which is by Carrie. And Carrie says, sometimes it drives like a teenager, sometimes like a 90-year-old, and you never know when you're going to get each. It's your call.
That is so descriptive.
Yep. I've noticed for me, you know, in my Model X, I love it. I use it all the time as much as possible. It sticks to the center of the road. It's not like the old school or the other OEMs who have like lane assist, where if you let go, it'll bounce like ping pong, bounce off of the yellow line and then kind of bounces off the white line. And then it starts freaking out and telling you to grab the wheel. It is so smooth and good. But sometimes it might feel like it drives a little fast. Sometimes it might feel like it drives a little slow. I've noticed that where I'm in a 45 and I've told it to drive 52 or 53 and I'm doing 44. And it's just monitoring the situation and the traffic and it's adjusting. You can hit the accelerator and speed it up a little bit and then let off the accelerator and it'll help to maintain that speed if it's driving too slow. And if it's driving too fast, then just kick down your speed request. You can just push the handle for the FSD down. And then if you want to turn off FSD, then you push the FSD stalk forward and it'll turn it off. But another comment here that I'll point out here is it says right here, this is by Shriram. It says FSD has improved a lot in recent times. I don't have FSD. And so got the trial this past month. I have been driving mostly on FSD. Almost 90% of my drive is FSD. I've never felt scared though. There have been some times when I had to intervene, but nothing safety related. And then the third comment here that I just wanted to read is from Jamie. Let me get down here. Jamie says, drove from Florida to New York and back on FSD and just had a couple of hiccups. On back roads, if a tall truck with high beams wants, it sees those high beams and wants to slam on brakes. When that happens, I just push the gas pedal and it stops stopping. The high beams sometimes blind the front camera and it stops because it's blinded. So just another little good tip there. They're continuing to do updates and continuing to improve it and make it better. But overall, it's up to you. I love it. I'm a huge fan of it. If I'm coming up through certain situations where there's pedestrians or weird turns, I'm going to be very, very much in control of making sure it's doing its thing, or maybe even taking it off for that moment and then just putting it right back on. But I personally love it.
Yeah, you know, I'm was a little more skeptical than you, Tori, but you know, you said something recently. You said, what a great time to be alive, where we're actually going to be able to witness cars learning to drive themselves. And hey, apparently we're headed towards, they're going to be driving themselves even without us in them.
Autonomous.
With robo taxi and autonomous driving. So, hey, I'm a believer and I've embraced it. And, it is indeed a bit surreal that we're at a place in time where we're letting our cars drive themselves. Pretty cool. So, with that, moving to number three, most popular post from Charlie about streaming music.
Yeah, this is a big one this month. We're in December 2024. And the reason that this is a big topic is because as of December 2024, Tesla no longer includes a free subscription to Spotify Premium or a Live One subscription. So people woke up one day after an update and they're used to streaming on Spotify or Live One and it's just gone. And so what they've changed is that you can have a free subscription to Spotify. You just have to use your own. It doesn't come with the car. So the hot topics, I won't go through the posts here, but Tidal was a big one. And that is the first comment. It says it's the highest bit rate. And some songs use the spatial sound that Tesla has in their system. Also added bonus artists that you listen to in Tidal get a higher payout in their royalties than any other Tesla available streaming service. But there's Apple Music, there's Spotify, there's YouTube Music, and Rod, something that we were talking about yesterday, we were talking about how Sirius XM had not been added to Tesla yet, but that it was coming. Well, I've not verified the authenticity of this, but I read a post this morning that said, XM is in Tesla, baby. So I think that we finally got it now. Sirius XM is now available in Tesla, if that post is correct.
My wife will be so happy I can get the Golf Channel again.
Oh, no, she won't.
All right. The second most popular post from Khalid about the another super controversial topic, the automatic windshield wipers.
Yeah, this. I mean, I think the first post I'll read here is from Michael. And Michael says, one of the most technically advanced cars ever that can fart too, with multiple different farts to choose from, but an auto wiper function that's the most ineffective I've used in over 20 years. That really is the synopsis of all the comments of this. And here's what I have found out. Here's why. The wipers don't use a rain sensor. They use the camera, the forward-facing camera that's below the rearview mirror that's facing out. And it just can't pick up rain like a rain sensor can. And so people get different experiences with this because if you've cleaned your windshield, if you have Rain-X on it or whatnot, then it might not be able to pick up the rain quite as good as if you don't have that. And if your windshield's dirty, then it might not pick it up. So bottom line is that it's not the best rain sensing technology, and you just have to do with it what you can. I leave mine off most of the time. I don't even leave my auto wipers on, and I find myself just pressing the button when I need to. And if it's heavy rain, I'll turn them on, but I there's only two speeds. And I find myself always either wanting it a little slower or a little faster. So I do wish that there was more than two speeds. But a couple of comments in here that I did learn is be careful with Rain-X, because Rain-X will, when you have the wipers on, it creates kind of that squeak and chatter.
Friction,
exactly. There's not as much water between the blade and the windshield, so it'll squeak and kind of, you know, chatter, vibrate. And so you have to be mindful of that. Obviously, having new wiper blades helps a lot because the rubber is flexible. The newer it is, the older rubber gets, the harder it gets, therefore doesn't do a good job of wiping, and it begins to chatter and vibrate even more. And there was one last comment. I've not vetted this information, but somebody said that they use G Technique, and a couple of people liked it, then you coat the wiper and you coat the windshield with it. It's like a three-step process. And apparently you never even need the wipers ever again. It just makes it to where everything just shears off of the windshield. And if you do turn on the windshield, because the wipers, excuse me, because you've coated the rubber on the wipers with this G technique, G-T-E-C-H-N-I-Q, it doesn't chatter and shake. Again, I've not vetted that, but interesting information.
Yeah, that is interesting. Yeah, my wife's ICE vehicle, the auto wipers, they frustrate me as well. And it's a General Motors product and it does have the sensors and they work pretty good sometimes, but sometimes I find myself manually, you know, adjusting because the rain is inconsistent. You have a heavy rain that goes to a light rain to a medium rain. And so, it's not perfect on ICE vehicles as well. So, well, with that coming in at number one most popular post, and this is interesting, the number one post isn't even really a tip that has to do with a feature of the car. The number one most popular post from this past week was a question from Jamie about overcoming range anxiety when switching from a gas vehicle. Tell us about this story.
Yeah, I love this. This had a total of 281 responses, likes, and then 580 comments. And it's just about anxiety of going from an ICE vehicle, internal combustion engine or gas vehicle, to a Tesla. And the synopsis of this, I'll read a couple of the responses or the comments, but the overwhelming response to this is that after you've driven it a couple of times, the anxiety just goes away. So I understand why people would have anxiety. I've driven from, you know, Florida to Georgia. That's about the longest trip I've taken in a Tesla. Cruising around town, it's no big deal. But coming from Florida to coming from Florida to Georgia, it did add about an hour to my trip. But I just want people to understand first and foremost with this that when you're taking a long trip, when you put your destination in the navigation, the computer does all the work for you. You're not having to sit down and plan where you need to stop and charge, or how long you need to charge to get to the next charging station or to your destination. When you put your destination in the navigation in a Tesla, it will automatically route you to a supercharger if you need to charge. And now they have even added tools where you can charge at a higher rate and say, hey, when I get to my destination, I want to be at least a 40% charge. And it'll route you accordingly to get there to make sure that you're there at the charge that you want to be at. You don't have to set that, but it just is so easy to drive a Tesla, and the range becomes, something that doesn't give you any anxiety, because once you start driving it, you realize that there's nothing really to have any anxiety about. But a couple of comments here that I'll read through here. Here's one that says, I had anxiety the first drive home. I was 3 hours away and was able to charge once because I didn't have it added to the app. And so just talking about, charging and the ease of there, no anxiety. That's why I bought a Tesla. In a Tesla, it's super easy because all the superchargers, my first EV, that's a non-Tesla. He talks about his frustration with that, but here's a good one. This is probably my favorite comment here by Roger. It says, honestly, it just took me a little time to realize that the navigation and energy consumption gauge were very accurate, and also knowing the limits and not trying to push past them. That's an important point, Rod. If it's telling you to stop at a charging station and you think, I can probably make it a little longer, just do it. Just stop.
Yep.
And some people even charge an extra 5 or 10% while they're at a charging station. So it might tell you that you need to charge to 70% and that you'll be there for, 25 minutes. Well, stay another 5 or 10 minutes and charge a 75 or 80% if you have a little anxiety there. And then lastly, somebody mentioned charging at home and planning your trips. And that trip, for instance, from Florida to Georgia, it's 7 hours in an ICE vehicle. And it took me right at about 8 with a Tesla. And this was an older Model S at the time. And so it's a little faster with my Model X because it has more range. It's actually pretty considerable faster, but just factor in for every for every 3 or 4 hours of driving, you're probably going to add another 30 to 45 minutes to your time. If depending upon the drive, of stopping and charging.
Yeah, I think, for me, a lot of new and prospective Tesla owners, they don't really realize just how fun it is to go out to the garage every morning if you have a garage and you're able to charge at home like I do and have a full tank of gas every day. That's an analogy, of course, but it's pretty neat if you're able to go out and have a full charge every single morning. It's almost the opposite of range anxiety. It feels good. And then, something about going from an ICE vehicle to an EV, the instant torque, smoothness, the luxury of a Tesla, all of those things contribute to overcoming range anxiety, at least, from what I've experienced. And so, a lot of times we focus on road tripping when we're only going to be road tripping, a handful of times a year, and we're really going to be driving every single day and walking out to our fully charged vehicle and not ever having to go to a gas station again is not such a bad deal either. So those are all the things for me that have helped with range anxiety.
Yeah. Keep a nice vehicle, right? So, for your long trips and my wife doesn't have an electric vehicle. That's fine. And if we're going to drive to Florida, we're going to take it just to avoid the extra time of charging. Not because I don't love the ride. In fact, I would rather have it for the full self-drive and everything. And that's a trade-off. Is it worth the extra 45 minutes of charging time to get full self-drive and to have, like, this time of year, I've got, when I turn on my blinker, there's sleigh bells and any people walking down the road on the screen don't show as people, they show as elves, and cars on the road show as reindeer. And I'm Santa in his sleigh being pulled by reindeer and it's snowing on the screen. Where else do you get that kind of experience?
Yep. So for those listening to this at any random time of year, it is Christmas. It is December 13th, 2024 when we're recording this. So just to explain, he doesn't do that year round.
Maybe. No, they take it away. They take it away a lot of the year. So it's,
yeah. All right. Well, good stuff. That was fun. The top five posts from our Tesla Tips and Tricks Facebook group for this past week. So with that, we'll go ahead and wrap up this episode. Thanks, Tori, for everything. This was fun.
My pleasure.
All right. We'll see you on the next episode. Thanks for listening.
Bye.